Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for the weekly Worcester Nazarene podcast, a conversation with our pastors and leaders to help us along our journey of loving God, loving people, and living transformed. Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Worcester Nazarene podcast. I'm Pastor Nate, and here sitting across from me is Kim Friend, who is one of the ministry leads for our CR ministry here at church. You could say hi to the people, Kim.
Hi, people.
We're so glad to have her on here. And as we say in the intro, this is not just for our pastors, but also for our leaders to be a part of discussion and kind of give you a chance to get to know them if you don't see them in the day-to-day, because Kim's an upfront person in the ministry that she leads, but you don't necessarily see her around. You see her husband far more,
yes.
Who is one of our board members, who was just up on the stage a couple of weeks ago, but also is one of our drummers, one of our guitar players. He does a lot for the worship ministry. We always say about Jeremiah, he doesn't get blamed for anything. We just can't afford to do that. Jeremiah never does anything wrong, is what we always say on the worship team. Even if he does, we blame somebody else for it. But he's great. And Kim as well have just had great interaction with their family, and they're just a great part of our Worcester Nazarene. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
And take a breath. We're all good here, and we're just going to have a chat. So we're good. I'd love to get right into it, unless there's anything you want to say as like a preamble of like, talking about yourself or any little things like that.
I know it's not your
favorite topic.
No, so. Thank you.
All right.
Fire away with the others.
Great. Well, I was really amazed at how much Pastor Nathan's sermon ties into what we're going to talk about today in relation to CR. That was not planned. That was not on purpose. The schedule of you being here was obviously completely separate from knowing exactly what content was going to be. So I just consider it very like the Holy Spirit to line things up as it's going to be today. But there were so many things that he talked about that I'm just like, man, this connects with CR all over the place. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to kind of dive into some of these questions. So let's get right to it. But let's go right away. Tell us a little bit about Celebrate Recovery. There are probably those who don't know what it is. They've heard us refer to it either as Celebrate Recovery or CR a lot, but kind of give us a little you know, bird's eye view of what it is and kind of what goes on there.
Okay. It's a... I've kind of got three parts to this,
yeah.
So bear with me through each of those parts. But it's, first of all, it's a Christ-centered, Bible-based 12-step program for recovery. So what recovery means to me is things that people want to get over. So mm-hmm. hang-ups, hurts, or habits, as we've referred to them.
Yeah.
In addition to the 12 steps, we have the 8 principles of recovery, and those are based on the Beatitudes. And everyone is invited. Everyone is invited to come, no matter the struggle. And really, it's just a place of hope. It's a place to get honest and just start your transformation,
yeah.
or continue your transformation walking with Jesus in that.
Yeah. And I don't want this to turn into any kind of criticism, so forgive me if the question leads in that direction. But obviously, most people are most familiar with AA and things like that. So
right.
Can you kind of give me some contrast between the two? My experience of being in the room is, and you mentioned Christ-centered, there's no bones about it. Like, this is distinctly Christian and distinctly about Jesus. But mm-hmm. Can you kind of give us a little bit of, if somebody has an experience in AA and they're thinking about CR, kind of contrast them a little bit for me and kind of give me a little bit of a little bit more detail about that.
Okay. That would be taking it back to the beginning. So, John Baker in 1991, I believe, was a member of Saddleback Church, and mm-hmm. he was struggling with addiction to alcohol.
Yeah.
And his pastor, Pastor Rick Warren, was given a letter, a 13-page letter, if I recall correctly. It is, the letter was from John Baker basically saying, hey, I'm been struggling with this and I've been going to Alcoholics Anonymous, but the missing piece is that, you can make up any higher power that you mm-hmm. want. So John Baker was all about saying we need a program for recovering addicts, leading them to say, surrender all their healing to God,
yeah.
instead of just, saying, I want to be sober.
Yeah.
So that is where Celebrate Recovery was started in 1991. And, I would say that the main, point for me is just getting honest again. Mm-hmm. And, the program of CR does not just help with substance abuse.
Yeah.
So I would say probably 30% of our population here at Worcester Naz is struggling with substance abuse, but the other areas that they're struggling with, that they've found healing and hope and freedom in our anxiety, mm-hmm. Abortion recovery, divorce. I struggle with things like comfort. This is not a comfortable setting for me. So the Lord bringing me out of just being comfortable in sharing the gospel and just being a disciple. Lot of childhood trauma of all sorts. There's people coming for codependency is a big one. We have some people that have come and even shared their testimonies about, hey, I came to CR because someone else needed my support. So a lot of people that have continued to come back to our meetings are discovering, hey, I was kind of an enabler. I was kind of codependent and I'm needing healing and freedom from that. Distraction, pride, pornography. There's all these subjects that we aren't necessarily talking about in day-to-day life. And the longer you keep them hidden and the longer you are tricked, deceived by the enemy to think that you don't need to talk about these. That happened so long ago, it's going to go away. So, I mean, as I'm talking, as the listeners are listening, I think that whatever is on your heart for, maybe it would help me for this. Yes, it would. So getting the people in the door the first night is key. And hopefully they want to come back and continue with the process.
That's one of the things, because I've been in the room a couple of times for CR, and we'll be here again shortly coming up. But I do love, you know, you talked about that idea of getting honest, and there's just such a sense of vulnerability in the room, but not in a scary way. You know, as a pastor and as a worship pastor, particularly, one of my favorite things is going into a room, and people have described this as desperation, but I think that's too much of a negative, but where people are just completely real and realistic about who they are, where they're at, and there's just nothing hidden. There's no pretense. And I've been in a few environments over the years where that's the case. And there's just something about the way the Holy Spirit moves in these environments where people understand their brokenness and realize that their brokenness doesn't define them, but they're still honest about their brokenness. It's this weird thing that you think would cancel each other out, but it doesn't. It leads to an incredible amount of freedom and an incredible amount of, again, that just honesty and just real things happening in the room. And it's just such an incredible thing to be in and be a part of.
I've been thinking about a lot about that concept lately and just really thinking about how at CR vulnerability comes before familiarity. And just the concept of coming to church each week, we have experiences, but you can also hide easily in church. And Wednesday nights are just full of incredible experiences. And it's a place where we introduce ourselves, not as, like you mentioned, Alcoholics Anonymous, but we don't introduce ourselves as alcoholics or fill in the blank. But we introduce ourselves as, I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I'm a child of God. I struggled with alcohol, and that's what brought me to the rooms of recovery. But today I struggle with pride. I struggle with vanity. I struggle with distraction. So just kind of laying it all out there first. Here's what nearly took me out. Here's what I haven't told anybody. Here's my deep trauma. Oh, and by the way, my name's Kim. So it's a reverse order, and it is kind of the oxygen in the room for those. Instead of when you're sharing those things, you don't like look around the room and see utter shock. It's truly just a freeing moment that allows other people to be vulnerable. So I can think vulnerability does breed vulnerability, and it's pretty cool.
And I love that whole identity thing, because I think that's, and this was actually my second question, so you bridged right into it and we'll just talk about it. But, you know, the one thing that I've struggled with so many, and I understand the mentality of identifying as, well, I'm an alcoholic or I'm a substance abuser, you know, whatever it is. Because again, it's, you know, that's still there, that the ability to go back to that is real. So I understand that. But I do think so many people, it's like they get hung up on this idea that this is my identity. And in a day and time when identity is at the forefront and yet more misunderstood than it's ever been, to identify as a child of God, to identify as forgiven and healed and whole. Mm-hmm. Again, not denying the reality mm-hmm. of struggle, but right. saying, no, the cross has been enough for this.
Right.
And I'm walking that out. Yeah. I love that aspect. And I think, again, that's one of the things I feel like has been missing from so many addiction recovery things that I've seen. And one of the things that we were introduced to Celebrate Recovery very early in the mid to late 90s. And, you know, I know my dad's talked to you about this some, but just didn't have leadership, didn't have opportunity to really make it happen. And so, again, this has been a long dream of ours to be able to have what's going on here with CR, and mm-hmm. has just been so great because, again, that issue of identity, you know, I'm a child of God. That is who I am. I did these things, mm-hmm. but this is who I am. And it's actually funny. I had an incident with my son this morning where he had made a particular kind of mess unintentionally in his bathroom. And I went in and was talking to him about it rather sternly. And he finally just said, no, I'm just lazy. And I was like, no. I was like, you are not lazy. I was like, I've seen you work hard at this and at that. And I kind of went down a list. I said, but you are choosing the lazy option. I said, this is not the same thing. Mm-hmm. I said, this is not who you are. Who you are is this. This is what you chose to do, but this is who you are. And I think even as adults, we need that. We need that face that reality of like, no, this is not my identity. I will not live in this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to move forward with who Christ has called me to be.
Yes.
But again, acknowledging I did choose this.
Yes.
And again, that's the beautiful thing about CR to me.
The concept of CR being deep work over time and in community is so important because like the instances that you had this morning, like if we're telling ourselves those lies and we're in isolation, maybe you are reading your Bible, maybe you are in prayer, but getting out there and fellowshipping and just getting in a group of people that also have struggles. They may be similar, they may be different, but just having that accountability factor and people, we're checking in on each other all
Absolutely.
The time. I'm a student to CR as much as I am part of the leadership team.
Yeah.
And it's just been such a blessing to me that the Lord called me to this because 8 years ago when I got sober, I knew what he saved me from.
Absolutely.
But being able to be part of this ministry, I know what he saved me for now.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty cool experience.
And that's the beautiful thing. We are saved for something, all of us. It's not just plucked out and now just stick you on a shelf. No, we are saved to participate in the kingdom. And I think that's one of the biggest parts of salvation that we often miss.
Yes.
We are saved to be a part of kingdom work. And again, so much of what you're doing now. So I'd love to talk about a little bit in that issue of identity. Obviously, the identity in Christ and who we are, you know, that reality of belonging is such a powerful thing. And, you know, people coming to CR and really just even to Christianity as well, kind of wrestling with that question of belonging and that question of worth, you know. And I would love to hear from you. You know, obviously you were here for a long time and still struggling with hidden addiction and you know, you were in the church. You were part. You weren't just, you know, friends. You were in it. You were involved in things. And so I'd love to know, like, where was that moment for you? Not just where you realized, okay, I actually have a problem that I need to deal with, but where you really started believing that you were loved by God and identified as a part of his family. Kind of tell me a little bit about your personal experience with that.
Yeah, I wanted to turn my life over to the Lord. And I did do that in and around 2017. I can't really name a time and place and chose to be baptized here. Beautiful, beautiful experience. And I can't say that because of my hidden sin, I can't say that I was all in with the Lord, obviously, because there was that unsurrendered compartment of my life that became unmanageable at one point. So to answer your question, I would say that was in a rehab facility.
Yeah.
I spent 30 days up at Glen Bay, and I know that that first night that I was there, the Lord truly scooped me up and just said, this is done. I've already paid for all this sin. You're not going back anymore. So that was my moment of true repentance.
Yeah.
And I know it was real too, because of the fact that it was it's a secular rehab facility.
Right.
But the first night there, there was a group fellowship time at night, and you get to request some songs. And, I requested one and they said, sorry, we don't play any Christian religious music here. And just, you know, kind of sat back down. 5 minutes later, there comes Corey Asbury's Reckless Love. So I mean, the Lord spoke to me that night. Just he really did save me. Yeah. I was the one. He left the 99 for me that night. And when you're stripped of everything, you know, no phones, no outside communication, that kind of thing. That is where, you know, you enter into being poor in spirit. So thinking of the eight principles of recovery and the Beatitudes, reading a book by Matt Chandler, just came out last week, Becoming Like Jesus. And he kind of explains the sanctification process as instead of on a graph where there's an X and a Y axis and you're going up and up and to the right. I don't know which way that would be on the camera on the screen, but up and to the right, it looks more like a horizontal coil. So thinking of a spring or a coil, you're entering in poor in spirit and you're very low. And as you're going through that, you know, you're coming into second Beatitude, blessed are those who mourn. And you're, these are low points, but you're also moving forward even in your low points because of the way the coil's designed. And as we're being sanctified, as we're becoming more like Jesus, there are going to be those highs and lows, but you are more equipped each time you're going through the coil to kind of recognize, oh, wow, I've kind of been here before. I've been stuck in this way before. So that's been, just a blessing for me to, as I go through these steps of recovery, it's not a 12 step program up, but it's kind of, uncovering the things that, like, I didn't just decide one day I'm going to drink to numb my feelings. I had these experiences and, you know, naysayers in my life who came down on me and I believed them, or abandonment or rejection, or, you know, the loss of my brother when he was 35, those kinds of things. And just having the Lord, like, I know he was there at the time now, reflecting back on them, but just having him meet me there in a new way that allows me to, what I thought was a closed wound or a scar, but they stay open if you don't take the Lord there with you, even if it's 30 years ago. So,
I love that. I do love that. Let's talk a little bit practical. So somebody walks in the door to CR, kind of walk me through what the night looks like, kind of the movements of the night, what happens. Obviously I know you guys are really big on obviously confidentiality and, you know, things stay within the circle when they're shared and all of that. But again, just generalities, what's it like if somebody comes in for CR, what are they going to experience?
All right. So they come in the first night and, you know, as a leadership team, we're making sure that they're welcomed. It's an awkward feeling, I'm sure, to just come in there and not know what to expect. So
like just expect coming to a new school feeling for a kid kind of vibe.
So maybe get a coffee, grab a snack, sit down, and first things first are just a time of worship. So kind of play some music that lifts up the Lord and allows people just to enter into that, Lord, I'm here for you. I want to be more like you. And, you know, obviously we're open to any and all people. So even not just church goers, so non-believers as well. But there's each week there's either a lesson taught or, and that's based on the 12 steps and eight principles, or there is a testimony shared. So testimony night is really cool because people, that gives hope to the newcomer because it's a testimony of how Celebrate Recovery has helped you and how going through the step study has, truly transformed your life. And, a little bit more worship. And the second hour, if you're new, you go to the newcomers 101 class and you get to find out more about what is offered outside of Wednesday nights, which we do have, 12 step, participants guide that is shared, and it's full of questions that probably nobody's ever asked you. And unless, I mean, it is sort of deep introspective. You're answering for yourself. And you meet on a different night of the week with your step study group. So that's usually about groups of eight or so. Mm-hmm. But back to Wednesday nights, the second hour for people that have already come once before is gender specific open share time.
Okay.
So we have mixed issues groups for men and women. We also have specific issues for some different hangups that people have. And that time is where we reintroduce ourselves, or the men and women introduce themselves as grateful believers, children of God, who struggles with, and you fill in the blank. So that gives someone an opportunity, even if it's they're still in the first month or two, like, I don't know exactly what I'm struggling with, but I am here because I want to be closer to the Lord.
Yeah.
So it is just a process where you don't realize until you do it that you're openly confessing something.
Right.
And there's no crosstalk. So that means like somebody can share something really hard, and naturally we want to come around and comfort but that's left. I mean, by design, it's just left there hanging. And, as you keep coming back, you can share whatever is on your heart that you want to share. And, you find each week when you leave there at 8 o'clock lighter.
Yeah.
I know I do. And just being able to have, just being able to be heard.
Yeah.
And whether or not it's your own personal sin and struggles, or that you are victimized by someone else's sins, and it's just a place where you can be set free and start that kind of upswing on the coil back to, because we're going to have highs, we're going to have lows, all of us. And I mean, you were raised in a Christian home and you're still not up and to the right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're all on equal ground, and we all have our different things that set us off, or that we're like, Lord, why am I re-surrendering this again?
Yeah.
But it's just an everyday, it's always on my heart and mind, and I'm so grateful for that because, you know, being able to facilitate each Wednesday night, and I have to plan for it. There's all those little tiny things, but the Lord keeps providing His help for me to be able to just show deep compassion for people. And I don't look down on anyone that's come in there for any reason, because I am too a sinner, and I too have my deep struggles.
Right.
And seeing the friendships that are formed there is probably my favorite, just because, I don't know, each Sunday when I come, there's usually a group of women that I kind of flock to, that it continues to grow.
Yeah.
And seeing like somebody makes a celebratory social media post.
Yeah.
And then
everybody's
they see
on
the
it.
Long list
of love that.
Like women that are coming to CR, and
that's
just,
so
we have just an awesome fellowship, and I know the men feel the bond as well. So,
And again, I mean, this is not my story to tell, so I won't, but I mean, this is even something that's affected my extended family and people that have participated and have really found tremendous healing as a part of this ministry. And, again, I think that this is not new. Confessional communities like this have been paramount to the church and a part of who we are. And I think, again, we talked about it a few weeks ago in a sermon, but I feel like the Protestant church especially has lost a lot of this. And so seeing something like CR come in and fill that gap where there's real confession and real accountability again, I think is just so important. But we're kind of running out of time here, so we're going to go ahead and start to wrap up. But I just ask, is there anything else you want to kind of do, a last pitch before we go, or do you feeling like your heart is clear and you've said everything you need to say?
Oh, I guess just one thing has just been on my heart off and on since January, and this is totally unrelated to Celebrate Recovery in itself, but you'll see the connection. There's a passion event each year for young adults. And Jonathan Pakluda was there, and he was just talking about the Statue of David by Michelangelo. And at one point he said that it's been told that Michelangelo was asked, how did you create such an amazing detailed sculpture out of a block of marble? And he responded, it was easy. I just chipped away that which wasn't David. Mm-hmm. So just thinking about, like, I want to be stripped of everything. Yeah. I want to be pruned. I want to be one with the Lord. And how do I do that? And it's kind of like taking it in my own hands and deciding what I'm surrendering so that he can chip away at me and just form me into a human that looks and acts more like Jesus.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I love that. Well, church, we love you so much, and we're all continuing to be formed into the likeness of Christ, just like Kim was talking about. And so if CR is something that you're interested in, and recovery from hangups and hurts and habits, whatever it may be, we invite you to join us for that. But we love you so much. We're so grateful to be a part of your lives and have you be a part of ours in the Western Az family. God bless you guys.